Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Point right there.
Wow, the little guy.
Give me a break. Is he checking out at Quinnacola? This Kenny Mallard should go home to his wife because nobody here loves him.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. John and I are back. We did do a show recently, but it had been quite a hiatus. Now we have the first game of the season under our belts, a tribute to Bill Russell, the latest and the greatest game. Dude, I've got to tell you, there's been a lot. There's been a lot to digest. And I love how the first game played out. And I even like the new uniforms. I'm with you. I can get behind it.
Yeah.
Gold is good. I like the darker green. I really do. I'm with you on that. I saw all your tweets and you know, I'm there. I'm sure there's a lot of diehards that don't though.
There's a lot. A lot of people don't like them. A lot of people don't like them until they see that Bill Russell was partly responsible for their design. And then they shut up pretty quickly. So that's a nice thing, but yeah, no,
they're gonna call it a hard foul. These guys are ridiculous.
It's good, but you know, I think I think it's perhaps controversial or maybe a bit of a debate in terms of whether or not the uniforms look good. I don't think there's any debate about how good the Celtics looked in opening night.
And not even 100% healthy. I mean, we've gone through this before. Tatum's kind of a slow start to the season. Question marks about whether or not their chemistry is there, if the focus is there yet. Boy, they really did answer it. You know, I'd say the first half of the game, maybe, you know, not 100% on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. Really coming together, but in the second half, I like the up-tempo style. I mean, I've been clamoring this for a while. I think Chris Forsberg, I believe, wrote about it today or yesterday about it had to have been today.
Right.
Yeah. It had to have been today, unless it was late last night, but he wrote about how it really suits Brown's skill set, which I've been saying for a while. Although his dribbling has definitely improved. That was definitely, I would say that was an issue or a concern with the up-tempo style before when he would try to finish plays. But some of it too was he was on his own. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times he'd be out on the break and it'd be a one-on-two. And that's when his handle would fail him a little bit. We're seeing just much more of a commitment to getting down the floor, playing that up-tempo style. But the defense is what sparks it all. That's what generates that up-tempo style. And against a team that is kind of a slow slogging offense under the direction of Doc Rivers, it's a great sign. What was 24-2 in fast break points? 22-2?
Oh, something like that. Yeah. It was about 20 points. Yeah. I think this, I said that it's always difficult with these games because you're either going to draw far too much of a conclusion from one game than you should, or you're going to be complete. Well, you're going to draw too much from one game regardless, but you're either going to be way high or way down. And so obviously we're probably way higher than we should be at the moment, but that's okay. I don't know, dude.
35 points on opening night from your two stars,
70 points combined. Yeah.
Really like solving a lot of that second unit. Here's the thing. If they had last season had a second unit that came out and, you know, seemed to be fluid and through the lineup transitions and everything else, we might have been too high. The only reason to be a little too high right now is can Brogdon stay healthy? But what he does for that second unit is it's a big difference maker. I mean, we can say Rob Williams being out hurts. We can talk about how, you know, the rebounding could still be, you know, somewhat in question, you know, Gallinari, Sam Hauser, like all those things with the bench, but just having somebody out there to direct it. And even, you know, honestly, Derek White with an offseason under his belt, having, you know, a chance not after trade to just be dropped onto this roster and really have had a chance to get integrated. High basketball IQ. I like it. I feel really, really good about the second unit in a way I have never felt. Maybe even with the last championship run. I mean, I loved Posey and Eddie House, but I really like the way this second unit, Grant Williams, it just really.
Well, I think part of it is you have guys who went through the war last year, like Grant, who you have some confidence in, even Pritchard, you know, and then you've got, it feels like you have adults in the room,
yeah,
you know, and that's something we're not accustomed to because Danny's been building out the bottom end of his rotation or his benches with first round picks for the last 10 years almost. And so as a result,
and then making them sit on the bench instead of develop because he brought in these stars that they definitely, as we saw, they've developed just fine. But
well,
but they could have leapt sooner with the adults around them instead of in front of them. And that's the difference, around them instead of in front of them. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's the reason why they're filling out the end of the bench with veterans is because this is a team worth spending money on. Right. This is a team that's worth supplanting what they're getting out of the core young guys with veteran guys who can help you win now, rather than, you know, trying to take Hail Mary shots at, you know, Semi Ojeleye's and, you know, guys who are maybe a little bit harder to peg in terms of, you know, they're maybe not Semi is a good one, but certainly like when you talk about Romeo Langfords or, you know, Aaron Nesmith, those guys were just, they were blocked by Tatum and Brown, but also they had longer to come to get to the place where they could develop. So I think that you're right. I think that this is the best bench maybe they've had in some time.
Brogdon and White potentially start for other teams.
For sure, yeah.
So having them off the bench, and Grant Williams doesn't get extended, but there's a case to be made on certain teams he's a starter.
Oh, yeah.
The way he's been playing.
Yeah.
Especially since the weight loss. Seriously, last season, and obviously we've got only one game this season, but what a big difference. And this is a guy that we thought was going to be a little bit more of that full-on power forward or small ball center coming out of college, strong guy. And he really did reshape his body, became at times we can say deadly three-point shooter, definitely a clutch three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. And that has completely transformed how he can be utilized at the pro level.
He's added a little bit of dribble drive onto his game too. I mean, I don't want to get too over the top on one hesitation move to the basket, but that's an evolution for him in terms of what his offensive ceiling. He has to.
It's just not how he played in college.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, you see guys develop. I mean, look at Brown. He didn't have a three-point shot coming out of college either.
Right.
And now he's three steps behind the line, knocking them down. And that's what you want to see with confidence. And you want to see players change, grow, morph that commitment. There was a lot of comparison, I think, for Williams and to Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Yeah.
A lot of comparison, at least in my mind, right? I don't know if they were out there, but it was in my mind. Guys, little on the overweight side, powerful, maybe slightly immature. Grant Williams grew up last offseason heading into last year. And, you know, he's everything you would have wished Glenn Big Baby Davis could have made himself into it.
Well, you remember I wasn't a big fan of Glenn Big Baby Davis. So he's already surpassed. He surpassed that day one. I mean, when he showed up, I mean, but to go back to just to take a step back before we go kind of down to the bench guys, I to me, like the difference, I think we have to start with Tatum and Brown. Like wherever this team is going to go is where those guys take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lost the finals not because of Rob's bad knee or because Horford was too old or because Smart shot them out of games or turned the ball over every time. Those things contributed or what have you. But they lost the finals because those guys couldn't run the offense. They could not get good looks. Brown had his certainly played better than Tatum, but neither of them really were able to lead the team to where they needed to be.
Or play off of each other still. Still exactly. A gap in the coexisting component of that's what it takes for two stars, you know, to be able to compete. I mean, if they play like they did on opening night, there's a chance that both of them are in the MVP conversation. Tatum with the rebounding likely takes it, but you score 30 to 35 points a night on a team that, and believe me, if they're both playing like that, this team will be at the top. It might not be number one, but they'll be atop the Eastern Conference if that's the way it plays out. You know, honestly, that might be the first time you've got two guys on a team that could really look at it. It could seriously be in contention. Tatum wins out because of everything else he does on the floor. But I don't think Brown is as far away. Definitely all-star. I don't think Brown is as far away as people have said, because he just continues to grow his game every year.
I don't think he's MVP category, but I think he's definitely on the march towards all-NBA. Right? And that's pretty damn good to be among the top 15 guys. Like, he's not there now, but he's within shouting distance of it, certainly. And if he keeps going, look, he's not going to score 35 every night. That's not the issue. But to me, for both of those guys, it's not about their production. It's about what they're doing that helps not only themselves not take such a toll on them, but also make it easier for everybody else. So, you know, talking about, you know, Brown playing faster, right? He is an absolute menace in the full court. So why wouldn't you try to speed up and take advantage of a top 20, let's say top 10, top 20 NBA talent? Why wouldn't you do that? So that's almost easier to explain though. To me, the thing that jumped out to me was Tatum off ball. Tatum off ball last night was he played with a poise and an intelligence that I hadn't seen from him to this point. And I'm not trying to say he's a dumb guy, but smart guys make some of the plays off ball that he was doing. And I also want to throw some credit to Joe Mazzulla, because I think Joe Mazzulla is doing a lot of this. So maybe that's a jumping off point to talk about the other guys. But to me, like, let's give credit to the fact that Tatum wasn't sitting there waiting. It wasn't my turn, your turn. And that's what we had seen all along. Mazzulla was running stuff where one guy is setting the screen. Let's see, what was it? Tatum was coming up to set the screen on Smart's guy. They overdo, worried about what Tatum is going to do off of that screen. Everyone sinks. Jaylen's wide open three. Like those.
But see, that's the reason. That's the reason I think Brown. See, you're nailing it. That's the reason I think Brown takes this huge leap, because it was a your turn, my turn scenario. and Brown had to have the ball, and like they would rely on Brown last season whenever they couldn't get a bucket. All of a sudden he shows up and starts taking over the game in little spurts. So, you know, now if they just have that all in the flow of the game, everybody's better. Mm-hmm. Everybody is better with that style of offense. And I've said this before too. I don't know why. I get it. They need to be good defensively. When it gets to the postseason, you got to be ready to clamp it down defensively. But during the regular season, are you kidding me? Like, I don't have a problem with the defensive lapses as long as they know what they're supposed to be doing and they can string it together. And then there are some games where they really clamp it down. They just have to be playing towards that every possession so that when the games are on the line, they really get it done. What I don't want to see in the postseason is that one-dimensional offense, because that just makes the opposing team's defense look better than your defense, even when it's not necessarily the better defense. And that's a killer. That is an absolute killer. And there's a grind of the regular NBA season where going out and scoring, whether you like it or not in this game, fuels people's energies and passions and their positivity and the culture. And you keep this team running up and down the floor. By the time we put 20 games behind us, they'll start running over everybody, because that's when the injuries start to pile up. That's when teams get a little tired. They're in the grind. Maybe they're a middling team instead of really competing for a playoff position. I almost think that the fact that, you know, they have the play-in game and all that wild cardness, I think actually makes people even lazier, because it gives them, oh yeah, we're hovering around 8 or 9, but we'll be okay. We're a better team. Look at the Nets. Looking at you, Nets. Yep, looking at you. I almost feel like the Celtics, if they maintain that style, well, instead of a slow start, we see a good solid start, and then they just blow it up.
Well, but you know, part of this is necessitated by who they have. This is what I love about, there's two reasons I love that. One, I love it because what do they need to work on most? Their offense. Their offense had to improve for them to win. Like, that was what killed them against Golden State. They could lock down Golden State. They could lock down Miami and Milwaukee. But when they ran into trouble is on that end. It wasn't because they couldn't get stops. It was because they could get stops, but they kept throwing the ball away on the other end.
Right.
So they had to improve on that side of things. But the second part of it is, it's about balance, right? So like you were saying, there's the part of it is, why not use the regular season to kind of get up and down and play a little more free and a little bit loose? You know, you have that to lean on. But here's another thing. They don't have Rob Williams until probably January or something like that. Mm-hmm. So why not be able to get yourself to a point? And I think this is where the Brogdon move, to go back to what you were talking about a little bit ago, this is why the Brogdon move was such a big one. Because by bringing Brogdon in, now they have that extra guard, that ball handling guard, to do a whole bunch of different things. But it allows them to match up small as well as big. When they went small last year, they weren't good enough. They didn't have enough offensive firepower to keep them on the court to offset what they were giving up defensively. Now, if everybody's healthy, and, you know, big knock on wood for that, because Brogdon and Smart and Rob Williams and Horford's 36 and da, 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 all this stuff. But you take
Peyton Pritchard
that.
Doesn't even play any minutes, and he can definitely spot in on that as those guys go down. The key is you just can't have them all going down at once.
Right, but the biggest thing is you have offensive flexibility.
Right.
If you can be a top three offense by playing small, with one big, and you can be a top three defense by playing big with two bigs. That's a recipe.
You've got the answer.
That's a recipe for a championship.
Yeah, like you've got the answer to every single lineup mismatch that a team could throw at you, and you have the counter move.
You just You could say we're still too small, and I think that a good argument could be made for that. But if Vonleh can hold up like he did last night or the other night against Philly, to just be big and be in the way, and you don't have to dedicate draft capital or a lot of money to that position, you're taken care of on the big side. Eventually, I hope you're going to get a little bit more out of Blake, although I think Blake was fine. I'm not critiquing Blake's play last night in that game. But then you really have to look at one position and one position of need, which is you need another wing.
Yeah,
and I don't know that Justin Jackson's going to be the guy who's going to fill that spot for this team. At, you know, when they turn the corner into, you know, April, May, and late June, let's hope.
Do you think they just move Grant Williams more and more into that wing slot?
I don't think he's quick enough.
Doesn't seem to be, but you're also not talking about top of the rotation wing. You're talking about depth at the wing.
Well, I just, yeah, but
I mean, are you wanting a scoring wing, like up being able to attack? 3 and D.
I mean, you know,
well, that's why. So that's why I asked that question. You know? 3 and D wise, you say he's not quick enough. Are you just saying he can't defend the threes?
I don't think he can defend threes well enough. No, I mean, he's done at times. He can switch on to guys. He can hold them for a second. But you know, let's say you're playing the Clippers and they're staggering Kawhi and Paul George. Mm-hmm. Are you going to feel great about that? I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's at that PJ Tucker place.
But in that case, I don't know why you don't just go to. I think you can totally mask that with a small big lineup, like you just said. You know, then you just rotate Brown to the two, and you put Tatum at the three, and you put the bigs out there.
But I'm saying you're going without Tatum and Brown. You got to cut their minutes down, like
during the regular season.
I mean, in that Golden State series, they had more wings to throw at us than we had to throw at them, which was really odd because over the last several years, it's been the opposite. Celtics could just throw a 6-7 guy just one after another and find out who works and make it happen. They were like one guy short. And now, you know, kind of going into this season, you really don't see that person. Like, I think it's great to have the options we have. To me, it feels like you're missing that one.
So do you think
it's 5 to 6, 7 guy who can do it?
So do you think they're going to wait? I mean, they have the trade exceptions, right?
Yeah.
There's enough money in there to get that guy. And they're obviously not going to value draft picks too heavily with the roster construction they have.
They did.
They're going to need them.
Yeah.
As they move forward into the future. But if you're going for the championship.
Well, they did give up this year's pick though. So that's not right. Cause they don't have this coming year's pick to the Brogdon deal, which I would do every day. And there's no problem with that. Oh, yeah. But now you're going to go down the road 2-3 years with number one picks. Look, we're far away from being the Lakers, who are absolute dog shit franchise right now. And they could be a bottom seven team in the league and hand Victor Wembanyama to the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, that could happen really, really easily from what I saw in that Lakers Warriors game. What a shame that'd be. Oh, I think that's when I look at the roster, that's what I think the need is. There's one wing, and I think there's a way to get there. And this was an interesting idea that someone had said that I heard on, I can't remember what podcast it was, but you know, because so many teams may be tanking to get Wembanyama or Scoot, that there may be a lot of teams that'll just dump assets, and it may be a lot cheaper than it had been in the past. Mm-hmm. So you may be able for a couple second rounders. And, you know, a trade exception, you'd be able to get somebody decent. That would be nice. You know, that would be really nice.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, Kelly Oubre is kind of like the guy that I would say, like, ooh, that'd be interesting. You know,
yeah,
he's annoying. He drives me crazy to watch him play. But for what his role would be on this team as like a ninth man, I think we can handle Crazy Eyes Kelly.
Man. Remember when he was with Washington?
the shove, you know, Linick. And oh man, those were
God. Did you just hate him?
I did. I hate him so much. He was a front runner. He was almost a front running turd like Mo Williams, but not quite. Not that bad. Mo Williams still the champ.
I forgot that front running turd was one of our like coined phrases on this show for so many years.
Mo Williams. He was Mo Williams. I'm telling you. Mario Chalmers was another one.
We go back. Nuts. Dude. We go back.
We go way back. 17 years old. Here we go. Celtic so stuff live.
You know, it's fitting if they could win Banner 18, you know, in our 17th year.
Yeah.
Because when we got this started, they were going after 17.
Yeah.
They get it. It would be a great way to celebrate and move on into the, you know, move on from the number 17 and carry this torch forward.
We're moving on from our 17th year, and we're ending our 17th year by them winning their 18th. That's perfect.
Can you believe it's been 14 years since they won that championship?
No. I mean,
14 years.
Dude. I was talking to my son about my oldest son last night. We were watching the post game with Eddie House and Scow. And he's like, so like, are other teams like have old guys as they're, I'm like, oh man, Eddie House and Scow are the old guys now.
I know.
I said, what about, I said, like Tommy. I'm like, well, Tommy was like different. Like there's nobody like Tommy, but that reminds me.
Do it.
Was there anything in your mind as you're seeing them play up tempo where in your head you're thinking, run, oh, Marcus. Yeah. Run.
I saw your tweet on that too. And
weren't you hearing it in your head?
Yeah.
There's like a soundtrack that runs in my head sometimes when I see things. And it's 40 years of listening to that guy, and it's there. Run,
you
want to
know why?
Run.
Want to know why?
Why?
Because he's freaking right.
Look at it.
I never doubted that. I always wanted that. I wanted it back when Doc Rivers was the coach, but that was you know, not the right ask.
Not going to happen.
For that coach, yeah. But when they brought on Brad, I was really hoping that we would transition into that because he's 100% right. Play fast. Win games. Yeah. And yeah, I get the defense and you need to be able to clamp it down. And you still got to defend and you got to be a great defensive team. You can't be the Atlanta Hawks, but I mean, you can be the Atlanta Hawks.
You can be, but
you
won't be playing into May. So. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, yeah, but he's right. And he would always say he would qualify it. It's not just about running and, you know, lots of turnovers. It's about your defense creating the offense. So it's a double win. You get the stop and you score the points. It's, you know, do that five or six times in a row and you got a 20 point lead all of a sudden.
The made free throw into an up quick layup on the other end. Tommy was celebrating up above.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like, oh, he would have been going nuts over that. Geez.
It just deflates the other team when you pull that off.
Oh, totally. One point for two, right? I mean, it's just, you know,
we'll do that every day of the week.
I mean, you got your free throw, Joel. You got your free throw, James, right? Okay, but now we're going to get two on the other end because you're going to dog it on your way back or whatever. I mean,
let's talk about this Celtics team not taking no mess.
I love that.
Dikembe Mutombo's finger came out of Jaylen Brown. Like,
no. And, hey, shouts to Dikembe. I hope everything's okay with him and all that. Good man and done a lot for the world, but you know, NBA and Africa. I don't know many people who don't love the Mutombo. So anyway, that I love that. That's like, I in terms of. To me, style of play is the most important thing, right? That's the most important lesson all of us as Celtics fans, after having swallowed whatever we saw in those finals, we wanted to see them play different, maybe turn the ball over less. But I think number two on that list was not put up with the other team's bullshit.
Yeah, Draymond.
You know, Draymond, PJ Tucker did him. It.
Yeah, I mean, no, he did. We can crap on Draymond, like he should have assault charges. Straight up, he should be an illegal affair.
That guy's a punk. I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
I've hated him, but the way that whole series turned around by them allowing him, he's a degenerate, dude. I'm sorry, but he's just a straight up degenerate. I mean, and they're they're condoning it and enabling it. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, somebody's going to pay for letting that camera footage leak. And I'm thinking to myself, somebody should pay for not for hiding this asshole behind the scenes as long as they've had. That's exactly what's wrong with professional sports. And everybody knows it. And it starts in high school.
Let's say it starts
in high school and they stay in high school. That guy, there's no reason to punch his teammate.
Right.
There was no reason to cold cock him. You get a little instigate-y on the floor.
Right.
Sure. You know, do I like that the league allows him to push everybody around without getting called for fouls?
God.
Hell no. Hell no. But it's a completely different deal. You basically told this guy he can do anything he wants. That's what you told this guy. And now everybody's running around and they're not even admonishing him for doing it. The whole narrative was, how did the tape get out? Are you freaking kidding me? And they're like, oh, but Michael Jordan did that. Michael Jordan did that. Sorry, folks. That does not condone assault.
Well, and then on the opening night of the league, they give 20 minutes to basically a Draymond infomercial.
Right.
For him to run his mouth about to basically say, I'm not really sorry and bad things happen, so you should excuse it, but I'm not apologizing. You know what he is? Present company excluded. We shouldn't take offense to this, to what I'm going to say. He's Bill Laimbeer with a podcast is what he is.
Yeah.
He's just, as you said, he's a degenerate. He's not, he is not somebody who is, he is not somebody I would want.
You want
on my
your
team.
Kids to grow up like Draymond Green? I mean, just
yeah. No thanks. No thanks. But okay, so but to shift back to the Celtics, right? So they went through that, and as you know, Jalen said, we're not going to take that. You know, there is a hardening that comes with teams who have been through it, and either won it or didn't. Like, are you ready for? You have to be tougher to go through that gauntlet again. Yeah. We see Jimmy Butler has that in all over the place. Like he is that guy. He is tough. He's going to do whatever he's got to do.
Yeah, we'll see him Friday night.
We'll see. That's going to be fun. But you know, the Bucks, 1 year removed, you could see it. They had that kind of thing about them, and they had done it. They won. These Celtics are trying to say, look, we learned our lessons too. And I love that.
And they've let the officials punk them, but part of it's because, you know, they don't stick up for themselves. They don't show the officials like, hey, and because they whine instead of address an attack.
Yep.
They need to be assertive about it. And I like that's the tone change here. You know, even when Tatum got his technical, that was total bull. Total bull.
Let's not even talk about the last preseason game.
Because
that was a complete nonsense.
Absolute nonsense. They're trying to send a message to him, you know, which only validates the fact that we know that they're picking on him, which means they're basically like, shut the hell up, Tatum. The game's rigged. We get to do this, right? And I realize that's not really it, but the point is they are. They're absolutely targeting him.
Yeah,
he definitely has bad body language, has for a long time. Don't love it, but I'm sorry. He should be able to put his arms up when he doesn't agree with the call because everybody does it. Everybody does it. And then you look at what they let Draymond get away with, which is how he started this. And you look at Embiid taking Marcus Smart and cupping his arm and flinging him to the ground. And there's nothing. And they basically say, it's not a foul. I don't know why they didn't. If they were going to leave the technical, then they should have called the foul on Embiid. But I guess that may not be able to do that with the review. They can only say it wasn't a foul. They can't say not only was it not a foul, but Embiid did commit a foul. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what they said. They only could rectify it in a certain way. And then they leave the technical on Smart, who, by the way, barely grabbed his leg. Like there was no squeeze. Like that was the weakest technical I've ever seen. And, you know, at some point, the Celtics have to send the message to the officials. If you want to let this get out of control, we're all about it. because it's going to be on you if you don't call the game fairly. If you don't, you know, if you don't let us protect our players,
yeah,
that's on you for letting the game get out of control.
Well, and I would also add that Embiid gave him an elbow as he was trying, as sort of after the foul, he gave him an elbow that it was kind of reminiscent of the, you know, Rondo Wade situation, obviously, yeah, right. as we all remember. But I think that was the Celtics saying, no, I don't care that I'm the star on this team. I'm not going to let, this isn't up for Mook Morris to fight my battles for me. This isn't up for, you know, Aaron Baines to stand in my way. I'm the guy on this team. It doesn't matter that I'm 6'7", I'm not 7-footer. I'm stepping up. I'm going to make sure you understand I'm not going to do this. It does go to that critique that Cedric Maxwell had, which is when was the last time that Tatum or Brown had been in a fight or had started something or whatever, you know, the connotation is that he was bringing up. Now, I don't know that necessarily, I think this is what he was looking for. I'm not sure that, you know, the way he said it was really what the importance was, but in today's game, you have to do what Jaylen Brown did. I'm the face of this team. With Jason right. Tatum, I'm not going to leave it to Smart to fight his battles for him. I got his back too. That sends a great message to everybody in that locker room. It sends a great message to the other team and the rest of the league. Yeah, I'm the big dog on this team, and I'm going to make sure you know you aren't going to come and do that to us.
Yeah,
referees are not there to protect us. We're going to protect ourselves. That's mm-hmm. a great message, I think, for this team. You know,
it's a great message back to the officials.
Absolutely.
Because it puts them in a position. Mm-hmm. And that was where it was before, is they weren't tough in the way that they went about this. They were mm-hmm. whiny. And so the officials, that's what bullies do. Bullies continue to pick on the whiners. Mm-hmm. It's not until you do what Kevin Garnett said. You punch the bully in the mouth. You knock him out. And when you do that, they stop punking your ass. And you know, they also didn't go after the officials, you know, in that they went after, you know, that, because that's the real concern for the officials. You go at the officials and say, what's going on? Right. Then you're in a war with the officials. But the officials' job is to make sure that you don't go to war with the other team, literally. And so you got to put the pressure on them. You have to put up pressure on the officials to be like, you want this to be a bloodbath, bitch? I'm down. You know, if you want to let this get out of control, we're ready. Because otherwise, they just let the other team be the aggressor. And we've seen it time and time again. And that's how that whole series against Golden State swung. Mm-hmm. They allowed Golden State to punk them. And I mean, the officials and the Celtics themselves allowed the Celtics to get punked by Golden State. Mm-hmm. And I remember after that game, I said to you, they should have let it get out of control. The Celtics absolutely should have taken this to an unsafe place.
Yes.
They should have been dancing that line as early as possible in that game, knowing that that they were not going to win the game. You know, and it's like, well, you don't want to do that. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you do. They want that drama. They want that drama in the finals. It's the reason that it happened. It's how they manufacture it to some extent. But you are in control of it as a team based on how you respond to it. And again, I'm not saying they throw punches and get ejections and all that, but you've got to come back and you've got to use up those fouls. You have to put that pressure. You have to have a tape the next day of side by side. This is what Draymond did. All we did was the same thing. How come he's got one foul at the end of the game and we had three bigs foul out? You've got to force that issue. And you've got to see how frustrated Golden State gets too, because they're not going to like having their ass kicked. And you never go down easy. You never go down easy. You don't let them assault you like that in a game and not punch back. So what if you got a 30-point deficit? Don't let them punk you. Anyway.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. You have to take charge in a different way than letting someone else sort of letting the officials dictate it.
But then everything else swung, right? From that game on.
Then everything else swung.
Everything else swung. And it just, they got distracted. And there's a maturity in the way that they went through the offseason and all of that. But all right, let's come back to that.
Okay.
Football's back. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your football betting needs this season. You'll also find the latest football odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends. Where? At BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events. Bet MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf, NBA, and MMA. You know, really kind of go side by side sometimes, Draymond. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code. You can guess it, John. You want to guess it? What's the promo code, baby?
CLNS50.
CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Where it starts.
Where it starts. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Will they continue to maintain this "we don't take no mess" attitude? Or will that get tested by the officials? Will they get picked on the entire season until they win a championship, until they do the Milwaukee Darlings maneuvering with taking home a championship? You know, is this going to become an issue that they're finally punching back? I mean, they've got years of reputation here.
Yeah.
So you don't just undo that by coming out and waving your finger in game one.
You would have thought in the first half they would have earned some of that. You would have seen some of that, and you didn't. Yeah. The contrary. You saw more of last year where, you know, Fabergé egg of the NBA, Joel Embiid, you know, does anything, and it's like, let's stop. Oh my God, he might fall and get hurt. Like, the dude flops around like Shamu.
Dude, that's so funny you say that. So I was in Maine this week, drove back today, and went up with my son. And so Riley and I are driving back from Maine to Pennsylvania. And he spent the weekend with his girlfriend, and, you know, she's not, I wouldn't say she's anti-sports, but she definitely wasn't avidly following the Celtics. Right. But she knows it's opening night. She knows he's a huge fan, and she's a great girlfriend. And so she's like, I'm going to, you know, yeah, I know it's your last night with me. And then who knows, I might not see you for 3 or 4 weeks because we live in different states.
Right.
But I'm going to watch the home opener with you because I know it's important. And then Riley's telling me that she's like into it. And he's like, and it was so funny because at some point in the game, she looked at me and asked me, like, does Embiid always flop all over the floor? Like, that guy's like a fish. A fish out of water.
I think we got a new co-host.
The fact that she saw it, she saw it like fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Not an NBA, you know, like follower by any means, and is into the game with her boyfriend and could see with her own plain eyes what you just said about, you know, that's who that guy is.
And I don't mind that he does it. I mean, hey, you should get away with what you can, but the deference that the league gives him is just weird.
Yeah.
He's the biggest dude in the NBA. Without, I mean, I think he's bigger than Jokic. He's the biggest dude in the NBA, and we treat him like he's a 6'1 guard who's like getting jostled just going into the paint.
Yeah,
it's completely mind-boggling to me. I mean, that we're gonna call it technical for grabbing his leg after he, again, biggest dude in the game,
total hook, elbows, and slam,
right?
Elbow, hook, and slam. Totally.
Say there's Matt, you know, double technicals, and you call a foul on Smart. Fine. I could understood, but it's like, oh no, it's only Marcus Smart's to blame. Like, I just, And it's not just that call. I mean, there were numerous calls throughout the game. I mean, anyway. Yeah, drives you nuts.
It's gonna, you know, they just know how to prey on Celtics fans. They know this is like our thing, that it drives us crazy. And I try, you know, we've tried to steer away from it for so long, but it's a thing. It's like a real thing, and it's not going anywhere. It's just what it's gonna be for us.
Yeah.
All right. So we got the game coming up on Friday. Yeah. Obviously the Eastern Conference Finals matchup, a real tough one from last year. I almost kind of wanted to ask you about Harden a little bit too, but I'm transitioning to Miami. But
yeah, I can't.
Yeah. All right. So we'll just leave that one alone.
Very Harden. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just leave that one alone.
Yeah.
For this one.
We'll get back to it. He'll come up again. I just want to register this. He looked like the greatest player in the first 20 minutes. I tweeted this at Jeff Clark because he said something about Harden or whatever. He played great for 1/162nd of an entire season well. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Let's see him do this, you know, for a week or three or a month or... The talent is undeniable. The question is whether or not mentally and physically he can keep up. So I don't think
that's
ever doubt.
He does look like
he
lost a little weight, though. He was getting pretty chunky in Brooklyn.
But, like, show me. Like, that's the thing that I couldn't understand, and I know we want to move on, but, like, that's the thing I couldn't understand from all these NBA podcasts picking the Sixers. Basically, they were picking the Sixers because the narrative that Joel Embiid was Joel Embiid and should have won MVP, even though everyone agrees Jokic should have won. But Joel Embiid should have won because he came in second the last few years, and Harden gave a good deal on his contract. How many people were screaming from all over the place they shouldn't re-sign him and get him back here?
Yeah,
and part of that's the money, sure, no doubt. But these guys still making $30 million a year. It's not like he's like mid-level money here. We're talking $30 million, and he's got a style of play and a certain way of like managing himself that hasn't exactly proven to be successful since the time that the Rockets lost to the Warriors in, what was it, 17 or 18 when you know. So we're talking like 4 or 5 years since they've been really successful at doing this. Why are we so like in love with James Harden because he signed a new contract? I don't really understand it. Prove it to me. Let's check back in on this on a month. I bet we'll have a different take on where the James Harden experience is.
I think he fits Doc Rivers well, though.
Sure. Doc Rivers is going to be fired too. So
yeah.
It's not going to work. I mean, they're both going down with the ship together. I mean, Doc wanted to get out of Philly last year. Harden didn't want to sign for the money. It's kind of like this loose collection of people that really don't want to be together. And Embiid's the guy there, but, you know, he was gassed and hanging on his knees by the fourth quarter. I just don't think it's going to work there. I really don't.
Yeah.
Never been a believer. I think they could add guys. Maxey, I think, is a good player. I think there's things they could add around Embiid, but I don't think Harden is that guy. Simmons obviously wasn't that guy. And he fouled out tonight with 5 points. Let's see. He has more than double the amount of fouls than he does points. So that's what Corey B said. So, that was just a lose-lose for everybody.
Somebody said to me the other day, it's like people don't change. You know, the problem is we got to take ourselves with us wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you just were talking about Simmons there, that's what I thought. You know, like, hey, whatever you were doing in Philly, just because you went to New Jersey didn't mean you didn't go with yourself. Whatever was going on there came with you. It's the same baggage. It wasn't Philly's baggage. You didn't leave it there. It came with you. And now it's New Jersey's. But, hey, I love it. I also love hearing, Jersey's. You know, what What? Oh, right.
Brookers.
I'm gonna do that forever.
Those New Orleans Jazz, they're awesome, man.
I love hearing Blake Griffin talking about everybody in the locker room because of the slap in the face it is every single time to Kyrie Irving. I don't love it just because of what it like says about how this team is approaching this season. They know
it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's the backhanded.
It's the backhanded Kyrie like that. Yep. Boston, you got it right. I should have come here. I went there. He's a cancer. You guys know what's going on. I am so happy to be here on this team doing this thing. That to me is just, well, it's like second dessert. I love
kiss.
It.
Yeah, I know. It's better than Enes Kanter's, you know, I want to wear number 11 or whatever. Yeah, his whole thing there. That was a little more contrived. This was like really to the heart of.
Yeah, he didn't say it, but he knew what we wanted to hear. And by not saying it that way, he legitimized it and said it's true.
Hey, let me ask you this question. I don't know if you saw this. So Kyrie announced or something that he's a father again, and that's great. You know, certainly that's a wonderful thing. But he announced that he was the doula for his pregnant. Yeah, right. Okay, good. He was the doula, and he caught his son. Now, look, when my wife and
catching his son is great, but I mean, did he seriously like
at home
learn to become a doula?
Right. I actually went through and looked up online what it takes to become a doula.
Yeah. Anyway. I've got a close, my VP of sales for one of my other companies is a doula.
Yeah.
And I think if I told her, like, could you just magically become a doula so that you could catch your own baby?
Right.
You know, in the midst. Well, you know what? I will say this. He had a lot of free time on his hands last year.
True. And this is very true. Maybe he got his RN. We don't know. We don't know what he's doing this time.
You don't have to be an RN to be a doula, but still.
No, I know. But I'm guessing, given his stance on some other issues, whole Western medicine thing is not something he's really, you know, and science isn't really something he's really cluing in on. But that's just me. Oh man. Jesus. I don't know. Like you said, catching your son,
really
no problem.
An East or a West in the whatever. Flat Earth thing. I just don't even know. Like, I feel like East and West is, you know, you gotta kind of believe that the, you know, the world is around.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, science and that, you know, he's
not
a free
so
thinker.
Science-y. Yeah, right.
He's a free thinker. And loves InfoWars and Alex Jones. Whatever, totally normal. We should stop talking about Kyrie. This is bad.
It's never going to end. Here it is again.
I know. Yeah, it's just like.
So, but anyway, it was about Blake Griffin.
And yeah,
it was
right.
About some of the vets, and it was about legitimizing that. And
yeah,
you know, I love the way that Jaylen Brown started the season because I feel like he answered the whole Kevin Durant call immediately, and it's clear he wants to be here, and it's clear everybody wants him here, and it's clear that he and Tatum are they're getting closer on the court. I don't know if that means they're closer off the court. I don't care, but they're closer on the court. They're more in sync. Their common goals are becoming more aligned, not because by me saying that the opposite was true, that they weren't working together at all. That's not what I'm saying, but it is clear that they're figuring it out together at this point, that part of their partnership on the floor is starting to make sense to both of them. That's critical. And, you know, I thought it was ludicrous that we would trade him for Durant. Ludicrous. Not because I don't think Durant's a great player and all of that, but, you know, you got to ask the issue of health. And we've tried to do this before. We've traded guys away for the Kyries. And and I think the reason people think it works is because it worked with Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, especially in Boston, right? Like, we look at that and say that worked, that made that happen. But, you know, as much as that made it happen, it was drafting Rajon Rondo and Kendrick Perkins and piecing them around them. You know, it was getting the Eddie Houses and the James Poseys. And remember, they didn't stay. You know, I think Doc brought that up in a recent interview leading into
That was such bull. Doc, shut up, Doc.
Well, hold on.
I'm not taking team building lessons from Doc Rivers.
No,
I'm sorry.
I get that. I get what you're saying. Like, I get what you're saying, but we didn't really have that Eddie House, James Pose. I don't think we could have kept them, right? But we didn't have that to draw parallels to this season.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't think it makes sense to trade for a Durant who, you know, is on the back end of his career, may not be able to prove that he can be healthy. And, you know, this is a bunch of players that are on the rise that are figuring out their chemistry. Smart and Brown and Tatum only just last season really got a chance to run the show, you know, together and, you know, under a new head coach. And then this year, you know, it's their team. And now you have players that I would say are better than Posey and House rounding out the bench. And you still got some young players that are going to play their roles, not necessarily in the starting lineup the way that Rondo and Perkins did. But, you know, Grant Williams kind of slots into that story and that narrative. And, you know, I think it's about balance on the roster. And then you've got guys like, you know, Blake Griffin, who maybe he's the PJ Brown type, where you only need one or two clutch plays from him to make the difference on being a championship team or not. I think keeping it together and building off of what they had last year made so much sense. And I'm so happy for Brown that he, you know, came out and had a big first night and continues to show, like, hey, you know, it's great that it's only Kevin Durant that comes up in trade rumors anymore.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. I mean, like, if that's what it takes to pry Brown out of Boston, then that's quite a compliment. And at some point, I think people are going to realize, like, why would you even do that?
Well, I think, you know, they were at a place where it's, I don't know if, you know, there's kind of two charts going in opposite directions, right? Like, more than likely, Brown has some northward movement in his, you know, value coming off of last June. And probably, Durant doesn't have that much longer before he's going down. So they were kind of at a nexus point where it felt like, okay, well, this could go one of two ways here. Well, I'm not saying that Durant's over the hill and done, but I think we can pretty clearly say that Brown has gone to the next, is ready to go to that next level.
Yeah.
You know, and then
with a really nice contract and locked up for a few more years.
For a little bit longer. Yeah, a couple more years. But yeah, I mean, this, just not to like go there, but it's 2 years. So we got to be somewhat like, the clock is ticking, I guess, is my point. My hope is...
Yeah, but they got to give him the full... I mean, they'd be...
Stupid. I don't think there's a question they would.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's a... I don't know if there's a question whether or not he's going to want to see the market, because he never has.
Yeah, and he is a vice president. It doesn't get you more money now.
That, I don't think it's about that. I think it's... You know, it's like, it's partly like Grant Williams' situation. Like, he wants to go to free agency to prove a point.
He's got, he
totally. And we know Jalen scenario. Is willing to prove a point, you know?
Yeah. I mean? Yeah. No, you're right. But he, meaning Grant Williams, he's got upshot. He could make more money by having a phenomenal year on a championship team and testing the waters. Like, he's got so much to gain, barring injury. Mm-hmm. By making that move. Brown, on the other hand, doesn't.
Right.
Gambling, good point. Gambling on injury in the final season, if the Celtics are going to throw you the most money, that you could possibly make in an extension with 1 year to go is pretty much a no-brainer, or should be, for Jalen Brown.
Sure, but remember who his agent is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the other. So, I think everything Jalen outwardly has said has been well thought out and considered, and I think he's a smart guy. He's going to have a 2-year window here that's going to be a lot of eyes on him. And the first decision he made in that 2-year window was to hire Donda Sports and Kanye West. That's,
yeah.
I'm not going to make an issue of it. I don't really what Jalen's going to be judged by the decisions he makes, not by the people who, you know, the company he's keeping. But, you know, with where that conversation's going right now with Kanye, I wouldn't want to be affiliated with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that.
But in a larger sense, I think you're right. I think he wants to be back. I think he likes it here. I think he sees value in it. I think you see it in his play. You see what he's trying to accomplish. You see that there's room for him to be a star here, and the type of person. That's why I think it's so great about those two. They're so different as people.
Yeah.
That there's room that for
there's
each
room
to
for
do.
Both of them. Yep.
Exactly.
And they get to be their own character.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of room on the team for them to both be stars.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing
and they
like
value a, that in each other. Like
nothing like a championship to cement that.
Absolutely. And Tatum really, always says
yeah.
he wishes he could do the things that Jalen does. Now Jalen doesn't say that about Tatum, but he does it like kind of sly way, because that's kind of how he works. It's kind of sly comments.
Yeah.
But I think there's plenty of room for those guys to be, you know, be successful and be here together, and each have their own shine in their own ways. You know, Tatum is going to, you know, he's just, if he plays the way he played last night, for 70% of the, I'm not saying as productive, but the style and the intelligence in how he's playing, the efficiency, give or take 70%, like I said, that guy's an MVP candidate, if not the MVP of the league. Yeah, that was so impressive how that guy, I know they both have the same number of points, and I'm not trying to compare them by saying that, but just the reason why the Celtics lost was more on Tatum than on Brown. And the things that he had to fix were a bigger issue for this team's, you know, kind of ceiling, I think.
Yeah. Because Brown had just a phenomenal postseason.
He did.
He did.
Yeah. He played great against Golden State, but there's a limitation in one, not having enough help. Cause you know, we talked about Tatum's injury and whatever. But also, you needed an offense around you. You know, there's a reason you see guys that can get buckets and their teams don't get farther than the second round.
Right.
They can't get enough for the other guys.
But honestly, even like somebody like Brogdon would have solved so many
totally.
Of those issues.
Totally.
Because they just needed somebody to be able to handle the ball and facilitate things. And, you know, unfortunately, like Smart does a lot of things, but I mean, I want to see a Brogdon Smart lineup, like Smart, Brogdon, Brown, Tatum, and Rob. I want to see that because you get the defense, but you take some of the ball handling pressure off of Smart, which only makes his defense be able to go to a whole nother level, but he can still hit the three. You can still rely on him if he's the open man.
Totally.
Right. Like I, if we don't see that lineup, and I realize we're not going to until at least January because Rob's not going to play, but if we don't see that lineup at some point, I mean, the defense is there. Like, that still might be a smaller, quote-unquote, lineup, but you've got phenomenal defense in that unit. Like, Brogdon's not a slouch on defense.
No.
You know, he's not Marcus Smart, but he's not a slouch. Like, he's solid. So even if
he's
they're undersized, Brown is a great defender. Tatum's a great defender. Smart's an exceptional and very well-rounded, versatile defender. Rob is Rob. He's a shot-blocking menace, you know, especially when he's healthy. He's a rebounding menace additionally. I mean, that's what you lose with Rob when he's not healthy is the rebounding.
Yeah.
right? Totally. And sometimes his ability to cover, like recover on, you know, anytime mm-hmm. he's, you know, got to slide back in, he moves slow with injury. And so he doesn't always get there in time. But those five are still a top five, if not still top three NBA defensive team. And all of a sudden the ball movement is next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, a year ago, Tatum and Brown, we wouldn't have said that about, right? That's
wouldn't those matter guys that you had Brogdon, it probably still wouldn't. They'd still be running the same weird. Is that an Ime thing, though? I mean, is this the Joe Mazzulla stamp?
That's that's my hot take at this point that I'm gonna stand on.
Let's see it against Miami.
Joe Mazzulla. This is Joe Mazzulla's offense. And if Joe Mazzulla can do for the offense as Ime did for the defense, look out. Because there is so much in that game, I thought, that was so much more creative offensively. And part of that is buy-in from players like Tatum and Brown to make it work. So give them credit.
Fun to watch.
Totally. Totally.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
And so critical.
Let's give another shout out to the fact that the NBA got rid of the take foul. Because there was one play, I think it was, let's see, second half. Tatum Brown gets a steal, leaks out. I think it was Maxey was running alongside of him. Now, last year, he wraps him up side out of bounds. This year, he can't because it's just an extra point. Brown gets a big dunk. Crowd goes crazy.
Game is more fun.
Timeout, and everyone loves the game a little bit more. It's the game of basketball. You know, yeah. Maxey could have tried to pin it. He could have, you know, and there's nothing wrong. Like that's part of the game,
right?
But that take foul stuff, I loved it. So that's, I think we're gonna see a lot more scoring this year. I think that's actually gonna be something that's gonna help the league. We're going to see more fast break points. We're going to see more dunks in transition.
It's going to change the way they play defense too. Not just like mm-hmm. not doing the take foul, but the way that they try to slow things down mm-hmm. is going to be totally different because they're not going to gamble that. They're not going to gamble, you know, on offense even. So even though the offense is going to move up, there's going to be certain gambles that they're not going to take anymore.
Well, and
because they can't recover with the foul.
Mm-hmm. Well, the more efficient your offense is, the less able someone is to run out and get those yeah. you know breaks. So if you can cut down your turnovers and be an efficient offense, and that may be your best defense,
right?
You know, at least to the early part of the year. So especially without Rob there, like you were saying, without him there, let's go all offense. Let's get these guys clicking and playing together and understand how to cut off ball and get everyone's, you know, what their needs are, get them all kind of figured out amongst
so many
group.
Weapons. It's just how do they get them all involved and make mm-hmm. the right read and take it and exploit the defense.
We need more from Pritchard and Hauser. Like, and that's not a critique of either of those guys, but they have more to add than we saw in the opening night. And
the great thing is they both shoot three balls, mm-hmm. which will space the floor. And if we're going to start seeing this cutting, then it's just a matter of, are you on tonight? Are you going to hit these shots? Cause nobody's going to pay any attention to you. So you're going to have tons of open looks. Mm-hmm. If you knock down your open looks, you're in the game, but both Pritchard and Hauser very much have that ability. If wide open and unchallenged, they should be relied upon to hit, you know, 40%. Yeah. They should be, if they can't hit 40%, they don't stay on the floor. And it's hard to imagine Hauser without a hand in his face, being able to hit 40%. I mean, it's precisely the reason to have him on the roster. All right, John, I got to wrap this up. Great way to get the season going. Can't wait to come back. Can't wait to see the game against Miami.
Oh,
what a hell of a way to start the season. Philly and then Miami. Woo! Do they play Milwaukee right after that? Because it only makes sense. What's the game after Miami?
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to ask me. Let's see. Magic on Saturday, who actually looked pretty frisky. Bancaro had 27 points and filled up a stat sheet. So that could be.
What about Franz Wagner? I drafted him onto my.
There you go.
What did he get?
I don't have the whole box score. I just know Banchero. He's a Duke guy. Of course, I'm gonna look at Banchero.
I gotta know. He's on my fantasy team. Let's just pull it up right now. Yeah, this is my sleeper pick. I need this guy. Let's see. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists.
There you go. Okay.
5 turnovers.
Franz Ferdinand is helping.
I wondered if you had done.
Take me out, everybody.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this week's episode. John and I really appreciate you tuning back in. There's going to be more. It's going to be an exciting season. The ride to Banner 18. John and I haven't really done our prelim. We just jumped right into this season, but I feel really good about this one, folks. And especially their attitude with all the nonsense, but they're not taking no mess. No mess at all.
John, no mess.
I'm going to wrap it up. Heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in. And for my co-host, John, I'm Justin Poulin. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Celtic Stuff Live. More to come.